Okay. All right. And if there's any time left over after questions, I'll also go over some quick updates I've made on the use case realization spreadsheet, which I'll add to the link here and in the supporting document section. Okay, so David is presenting.
Yeah. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Okay. Do you
You need to stop. You need to let him share.
yeah. I'll stop sharing and you can share.
Okay. Yes. Give me a minute. Okay. Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So yes, BBS broadband service use case. So first of all, just a quick introduction, what is it about? So it's a use case that will be released as part of Dublin, and it's a joint effort between Swisscom, Huawei, and Nokia. And it's about using ONAP for the design, provisioning, lifecycle management of broadband services, meaning internet access in a first step. And by broadband service or internet access, I mean really the customer-facing service. So it's not about configuring the infrastructure, so that we assume is already there, but it's about using ONAP for provisioning those customer-facing services, so the internet access. And for that, we use in our case, we use passive optical networks, so fiber access from the user home to the central office. And we are also following or some BBF standards or specifications in this use case. And also, we plan to, let's say, contribute some of the outcomes or learnings from this use case to the Cloud CO specification from BBF. So we hope that it's useful in this standardization body as well. And we are also using external API component to interact with our OSS PSS. And for that, we use TMF APIs. But okay, so this is a very high-level introduction. So now what we plan to implement in Dublin is the
So
following.
just a quick overview. So
Yep.
a service provider would have an optical network, and the ONT optical network terminal are endpoints that are providing that broadband internet service, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I will go into more detail just in a couple of minutes. Then I can show the architecture and probably it's a bit more clear then. So we have a set of goals for Dublin. So the first one is being able to design that service, that customer-facing service, that internet access using SDC in ONAP, and being able to order the instantiation of that service from a BSS, so from an external system using external API. And second, we have a couple of scenarios, but for Dublin, probably we will only tackle one of them, which is the support for a location change of the end user devices. So the ONT is, as Ben mentioned, is the device that the user has at home. So basically, it's the residential gateway or the CPE. And we want to support the case in which the CPE has internet access, so we have the service already provisioned. And at some point of time, the user takes this CPE and moves to a new address, plugs the CPE to the network in his home, and then ONAP should be able to detect that this CPE, which had already a service provisioned, has moved or changed location and needs to reconfigure that service in the new address so that the user can receive the same service as he had before in the previous address. And we assume, of course, we make some assumptions. We assume that the new address can provide that service, so that there's enough bandwidth available in the new address, and there's also fiber connectivity in the new address. So we take those assumptions, but we want to use ONAP really to detect that this CPE or this physical function has changed location, and we are able to reconfigure the service to provide that internet access in the new location as well. So this is the scenario or the major challenge we have or what we want to support in Dublin release. And then we have another one, which is the service subscription plan change. But this we consider as a stretch goal for Dublin release. So I don't know if we will make it. This one is about supporting the modification of an order from the BSS towards ONAP, saying, okay, instead of this bandwidth, now I want 10 times more, right? So we assume that the operator, we offer different package for internet access with different bandwidth. So when the user change the package, the BSS would ask ONAP to change that bandwidth configuration in the existing service. But as I said, this is a stretch goal for this release of ONAP. And yeah, so we have some pictures showing the two scenarios. So this is the one I was mentioning before, when the user moves to a new location and ONAP just reconfigures the service in the new address. And this is the subscription plan change. So how are we going to do this? So this is a high level overview of the system. So we will have from left to right, we have in the infrastructure the CPE sitting at the customer premises, some fiber network, so PON in our case, passive optical network, going towards the central office where we have OLTs. So these are the end points of that fiber network. And after the OLT comes the metro network. So we have Ethernet or VXLAN tunnels in our case, going towards the broadband network gateway, which is basically the gateway towards the internet. So yeah, we omit the internet peering and all these elements. So basically, these are the pieces that we need to configure or to provide that internet access. And we configure those pieces via third-party controllers, at least in Dublin release. So we have one dealing with access, so ONT configuration or CPE configuration, and OLT configuration, and another one for the edge, which will take care of setting up or configuring the customer internet profile in the broadband network gateway and creating the user in AAA and configuring basically the speed profile that needs to be applied to that customer and how to identify that customer. These are the things that need to be configured in the edge. So these are third-party controllers. So we use SDNC to relay the configuration commands towards these two domains. And we use DCAE to first detect when one of these CPEs shows up in the network. So the user receives the CPE from the operator and he plugs it in the network. And via AccessSDNMNC, we will generate a PNF registration VES message that is later on processed by DCAE. And also, the Edge SDNMNC will use VES to report once the CPE becomes authenticated in the network. So from that point, we can consider that the internet access service is active. So it's the end of the provisioning from ONAP perspective. And Yes, and on top we have OSS, BSS systems that, as I said before, these are the portals towards the customer where the customer orders the service, and then we interface from these systems via external API with ONAP to do the ordering of such services.
So just three questions. One, those actual cloud boxes, those Electro clouds, there's no configuration there, right? You kind of pointed to them. But I think the actual configuration or interaction with ONAP is the actual more ovaly type things, the CPE, the access nodes OLT, and BNGs, right? In other words, you're not configuring anything related to the FTTX, Metro, or Core plus internet peering. Is that right?
Yeah. Right. So we assume that the infrastructure is in place. So OLTs are, so the fiber is already, let's say, rolled out until the customer home. So it's already working. So OLTs are configured. They are already connected to BNGs. So we have some VXLAN tunnels already set up here that through which the aggregate traffic from all the customers on this site will reach the BNGs. So this is, the assumption is that all this infrastructure is already configured. So the only thing we need ONAP for is to configure the customer-facing service-related items. So meaning the ONT plus residential gateway or the CPE, speed profiles, and connectivity between the ONT where the port on which the ONT is connected, so the port from the OLT to which the CPE is connected towards the metro network. And on this side, we need to create the customer on the BNG so that in our case, in Swisscom case, this is the element that does the traffic shaping. So meaning that if the customer requests a 1 gigabit internet access, the BNG will be the one shaping or limiting the traffic for that customer to 1 gigabit. So these are the pieces we need to provide to ONAP. And perhaps I can show another drawing that shows this, yeah. So this is it's a similar picture than the one before with a bit more details. So we will have multiple customers, each of them with CPEs. This is the fiber network, and we have a set of passive elements. So these are not visible to ONAP. So it's just basically a link. Then we have the OLTs, Metro, and BNG. So the items in green, I would say these are the ones that needs to be modeled on the ONAP side, on the service side, while the ones in yellow are already configured, pre-configured, and working. So there's no configuration needed on the optical network side, and only, as I said, on the ONT, OLT, and the internet profile in the BNG.
Okay, thanks. And the second or third questions was, you mentioned the connection back on that other diagram.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go back to that diagram real quick. So you mentioned that the ONT connects DCAE. By that, I think you mean the plug and play use case is used, right? It's to
yes.
The PNF. In this case, the PNF is the ONT, and RNG is contacting ONAP with a flow using the plug and play flow.
Yeah, right. So this is what we have in mind. So the CPE is connected via fiber to the OLT. So that means that there's not a direct connection between the CPE and DCAE. So we cannot send VES event messages for plug and play directly from the CPE to DCAE. So we need to do that via the access SDN MNC. So this is the process looks like this. So when the CPE is connected or plugged into the network, the OLT will detect that CPE in one of the ports and will report to the Access SDN MNC that there's a new CPE being connected, and including the port on which this CPE has been connected. And then we use Access SDN MNC to generate a VES PNF registration message containing the information about that CPE together with the port on which the CPE has been connected in the OLT. And this is the message we send to the PRH, so the PNF registration handler. It's the way we have to detect or to inventory these CPEs.
So even though the actual physical box is the going through another physical box, you're basically using the CPE to send the PNF registration message as a proxy to say this actual ONT is being connected, even though it's the CPE box that's talking in this case, in your diagram, is actually talking to ONAP.
Yeah, exactly. And also, if ONAP provides any configuration to the ONT, so it will be done via the Access SDN MNC, but Access SDN MNC will provide that configuration to the OLT, and OLT will proxy that configuration to the CPE. So there's really no direct connection between CPE and ONAP possible. That's okay. Why we do it this way.
Okay, great. And the third of three questions is, can you say a little bit about what you expect in design time? What sort of service design, or what sort of, and maybe you were going to talk about that already, but what kind of service is created to represent this thing? and I would assume that would entail some, modeling of, the service or resources and stuff.
Yeah, right. So this is what we have in mind at the moment. So so high-speed internet access, CFS. So this is the high-level service that we need to design in SDC. And we have basically two virtual functions. So one is the, we call it high-speed internet access internet. And this one contains the piece of configuration that needs to be provided to the BNG. So basically, this is the one piece of information that needs to be sent to the Edge SDN MNC containing some attributes that will be used to identify the CPE once it becomes connected to the network, and together with some service attributes like what is the upstream, downstream speed needs to be applied to that customer, and access ID is also used to identify the CPE. So this needs to be modeled in SDC as part of the CFS. And on the access side, we model the CPE itself with attributes like MAC address, manufacturer, serial number, connectivity points. So this is the ONT interface towards the network. Then the fiber network, we just model it as a virtual link at the moment, but without any attributes. So I think for Dublin release, we can keep it like this at the moment because there's no configuration that we need to do in this part of the network. And then we have the access connectivity, which is the piece of configuration that will be sent to the OLT device via the Access SDN MNC. And this one contains, again, some service attributes and information on the connectivity points towards the CPE and towards the metro network. And this yellow part, we assume, is already configured, so it's part of the infrastructure, so we don't need to really model it in SDC. So only the items in green are the ones that we need to model. So any questions here? Okay, so then maybe I can move forward and go to the interaction flows. Okay, so this is one of the intersections that this use case has with the 5G use case and the plug and play. So our service has a PNF, which is the CPE, and we use the same approach as in the 5G use case. So we, in our case, we order first the service, the internet access from the BSS to external API. We provide the service attributes that needs to be provisioned in that service, together with some information on of the CPE that will be sent to the customer. So because we have, we are shipping the CPE to the customer, so we already have this information. And we provide that to external API. And external API, together with the template ID, of course, that needs to be provisioned. And SO will receive that order coming from external API. We'll see that there's a PNF involved in that service. So at some point, it will wait until this PNF shows up in the network. And I think the default value at the moment is 2 weeks. So after that, we assume that the customer will receive the CPE on time, will install it and make it online. And at this point in time, the OLT will detect that there's a new CPE being connected and will report that to the Access SDN MNC. And this is where the Access SDN MNC will generate that PNF registration best message. And here is where we have one of the first challenges or something different in this use case, and is that we want to support the nomadic ONT case. So the case where this CPE can be moved to a different location. So we need to include somehow in this best registration message information about the attachment point of the CPE to the OLT. So we want to keep that information in ANAI so that the next time the CPE shows up in a different address, we have something to compare with the new attachment point to the network. And this is something we are currently discussing or getting or trying to get some feedback from the modeling team on how we can keep that information in ANAI. Yes, so once the PNF is detected and the information of the PNF is stored in ANAI, then the PRH will generate a PNF ready message or event in DMAP that will be consumed by SO, and SO will continue with the provisioning of the service, meaning configuring the OLT, so the items that I showed before in green. So one of them is the OLT configuration, access connectivity, plus the piece of configuration that will go to the BNG, so the internet profile. And after that, the ONT, so this is the optical network terminal in the CPE, will be properly configured. And there's a next step where the residential gateway, which is also in the CPE, needs to be authenticated. So let's say that in this part of the flow, we enabled the traffic from the CPE until the BNG. And then there's a second part in which the BNG needs to authenticate that CPE and grant access to that user towards the internet. So we also keep track of that stage. So after the ONT is properly configured, the RG we'll start the authentication progress process by sending a DHCP discover message. And there are a set of steps here. So BNG will see that packet, will check against AAA that this user is allowed to connect to the internet, and so on. And after the CPE is authenticated, we will have a notification coming to DCAE from the Edge SDN MNC saying, okay, this CPE with this MAC address has been successfully authenticated. So we will process this this message, which is in VES format. At the moment, we are considering doing that in a specific microservice within DCAE for our use case, because we think this kind of event is specific for the broadband service use case. So it would be nice if we can generalize it, but at the moment, this is the option we are considering. So we will process that message in that microservice, and we will update the state of the state of the service instance for that internet access in ANAI. And after that, ANAI will generate a notification that external API reads, and then at the end, external API notifies the PSS that the service is active. So this is the flow for the creation and activation of the internet access. So any questions, comments?
Yeah, so I have three questions. One, can you just quickly highlight, you mentioned a number of ONAP components here. Maybe it would be useful because we have a number of PTLs, and the purpose of this weekly meeting is also to kind of highlight platform evolutions and stuff towards use case realization. So maybe you just want to highlight what are new things that happened in ONAP 2 in these flows to make this use case work.
Yeah, right. So so we keep track of these items in the project impact, but I can quickly say, so one of them is enhance the PRH, so the PNF registration handler microservice in DCAE, so that it can recognize some additional fields, right? So we need to get this attachment point information from the PNF, from the CPE. So this is new. And another thing is to detect whether this CPE has been registered before. So we need to be able to, in order to support this nomadic ONT case, we need to be able to differentiate between the initial registration of a CPE and the re-registration of that same CPE. So this is one of the items we are working together with the PRH team to support in the Dublin release. Another thing we need new collectors also in DCAE. So we have one implementation of the Access SDN MNC is using RESTconf to provide the events, the registration events towards DCAE. And we are working on the RESTconf to VES mapper, so that this RESTconf message is translated into VES. We have another implementation of the Access SDN MNC that is using VES directly. So in that case, this is not needed. Another thing is the detection of the CPE authentication. So we are, as I said before, we are considering having this microservice as part of the platform or DCA platform microservices. So we are also discussing with the DCA team on that. And for external API, we also requested to have updates towards the BSS whenever the orchestration status of the service changes. So that's something that the external API team is working on as well. So basically they are fetching events from ANAI whenever there's a service instance modification event. They notify the BSS about it. Then we will require new DGs in SDNC as well to interact with both domain SDN MNCs. So probably it will require also modifying the generic resource API. So the northbound API of SDNC towards other components of ONAP. And maybe another thing is, well, this is not a new feature, but we are also considering using Apex as a policy engine to implement the, it's another flow, I didn't go through it, but it's about the detection of the nomadic ONT. So basically, yes, it's detecting that the attachment point to the network changed and so on. So this we will do in our microservice, but then policy, we are considering to use it for finding out which resources in the service needs to be reconfigured. So yeah, I think this is it.
Okay, so the second of my third questions is, this is really kind of showing, at least if I understand this correctly, it's kind of showing two use cases together, right? You're showing both the base use case and the nomadic. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it both in the as you were describing the flow.
Yes. Yes. So this is basically the flow for the creation and activation of the service. So from the service order until the CPE is authenticated. And the second one is the detection or the scenario in which the service is already provisioned and we move the PNF to a different location, we move the CPE to a different location, and we detect that movement in ONAP and we reconfigure the service. So this is the another challenge. So basically we want to make this as generic as possible. So this is something that can be reused by other use cases like 5G. So being able to detect that a PNF has been relocated, and that's something that we can enhance in the current system.
Hey Ben, this is Shakir. Just to add to what David just commented on, right? So so you have the initial registration, and then there is a case that applies to almost all the PNFs. What if the PNF tries to re-register without being nomadic, without moving, right? And this is a case that applies to all of the PNFs in the case where the PNF reboots, right? So the PNF reboot or restart or whatever the case, whatever condition or conditions occur that would cause the PNF to re-register, if you will, this is not specific to BBS. It's specific. It's common to all across all the PNFs, where the uniqueness about the BBS is on the re-registration. We're detecting the trigger to say, are there any new configurations that we need to apply now that we know that the PNF has re-registered and move to a different location.
Right, and that's the whole re-registration new use case in the plug and play that is probably worth worth talking about or going over the wiki for. Yeah, I can. Yeah. We can go over some of that too. Yep.
Yeah. Do you want to share now, Ben? Or
well, there was a third question I had in the last bottom third of that diagram you showed us a second ago when you're going over the flow.
So this one or the previous one?
Previous one, yeah.
Yep.
So here, where it says that something triggers service pairing in the CPRG online. So actually, the CP is doing actually kind of a lot of the groundwork plug and play steps, I would say, for the ONT, right? So the CP does some authentication to the network. You validate that this is something you can work with, and it's doing what traditionally would be some of the things that I would associate with just a PNF doing. Is that right?
Yes, but maybe it's a bit different in the sense that this authentication, let me show the picture. Maybe this one. So the authentication I'm talking about is basically CPE against the BNG. So it's not authentication towards ONAP. Right? Is that what you were referring to?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, we have in a first step, we need to. So the CPE, this is, I know it's a bit confusing. So the CPE has two functions. So one it's the optical network terminal, and the other one is the residential gateway. So basically, this is the one that gets the IP address, right? And it connects to the internet. So it's the gateway. And the ONT is the interface, it's the point in which the fiber network ends. So it basically is the one that connects to the OLT. So this is layer two connectivity, let's say, until the OLT. And then we have the residential gateway is the one going to the internet, right? So it has, we have these two functions in a single device. In Swisscom case, and we need one step is the configuration of the ONT itself, so that the OLT can communicate properly over fiber to this device, to the CPE device, and once this path is established, then we have basically connectivity from the CPE to the BNG. So this is when the CPE authentication starts. So basically, it's the RG part of the CPE authenticating against the PNG. And once the authentication is completed, then there's internet connectivity. So this is basically these are the two steps that we have in the flow.
Great. Also, you had a nice diagram, I think, showing the nomadic case off the main page. Maybe you want to talk about that a little bit.
So basically we have so we assume that the service is already provisioned, so there's a customer with a CPE that has internet access. So this is this gray line, what I'm trying to represent with this gray line, and at some point the customer decides to move, no? For example, he moves to a new apartment. And he takes the CPE with him and just plugs the CPE in the new location, in the new address, plugs the CPE in the fiber network to the optical socket he has in the apartment. And then there's a CPE being connected to a different OLT. So that means that the OLT, the new OLT, will detect that there's a new CPE being connected and will report via the access SDNMNC towards ONAP, hey, I have a CPE being connected. So that's what I was trying to mention before. It's one of the challenges we have. So we need to be able to detect that this CPE has moved, so that it was previously attached to an OLT A and now is attached to OLT B. So we need information in that VES registration message concerning that attachment point. So we are using the identifier of the port of the OLT. And so from ONAP side, what we will see is a new registration event, but we need to be able to detect that in this case is a re-registration. So the CPE was previously registered in another location, or we have that CPE information in ANAI. And in a second step, once we identify that this is a re-registration, we need to identify that it's a relocation. So we first identify that the CPE is re-registering. And in a second step, by using the information on the attachment point of the OLT, we can derive that this is a CPE relocation case. And then we continue with the flow to reconfigure the service. Yeah, so for the first part, for detecting the re-registration case, at the moment we are using or planning to use the PNF registration handler microservice. And for the second part, identifying that the CPE has relocated, we are considering using a specific microservice for PBS. But it could be great if we can also generalize that, because I guess it's useful for other use cases like 5G.
Okay, great. And I can talk about the re-registration piece as well.
Yep.
So maybe I'll share.
Yep.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes.
All right. So this is the plug and play use case wiki that's we've been maintaining from release 2. I added a new use case for re-registration. And this should be useful for all PNFs that are re-registering. So there's three main cases that I could think of that you might want to re-register. One is the rehoming case. And this has been with, at least, you know, I'm very familiar with wireless PNFs. So in the wireless industry, this is very common if, for example, if you're rehoming to a new manager to, and in this case would be a new ONAP system or a new service. A prolonged disconnection or reconnection is another possibility where you might re-register. Maybe there's a outage of some sort. And then the case here with the BBS team with the physical relocation, but there's also cases where you could also foresee I might move some other type of PNFs, right? So this is a pretty generic cases of where you might re-register a PNF. And attendant with that is when you re-register, of course, there was some service that ONAP probably had associated with the resource, and that would also need to be updated as well. So the basic flow I've drawn here is the that in theory should characterize all re-registrations is that the unit goes through a PNF registration again. And if you want to see the greater context of this, you know, the rest of the wiki page talks about how this flow works. I'm just highlighting the main chunk, that difference of the actual re-registration piece. So that registration event comes in, it gets published on the DMAP topic, the PRH handler, PNF registration handler basically takes that VES PNF registration event and queries ANAI and sees that this already has an entry, that I already know about this PNF device. And some logic is performed to know that this is an update that's happening. And so it publishes a PNF update event. And then a microservice that could be called, which would invoke policy to tell that a specific thing needs to be executed to say that this is a re-registration type use case, and maybe a service needs to be updated, an associated service needs to be updated, and here's the service that needs to be updated. And then SO verifies that this is the thing that it's working with, and it performs a update, the steps that needs to, and may also send down a reconfiguration to make that happen. So I had worked closely with the BBS team following this flow to make sure that it worked for their use case. And hopefully it should be applicable to other cases as well. And for example, a 5G base station moving or rehoming. And we had talked about what this might look like, this service update microservice, and how this PNF update message would work. So the basic idea is that you can add in some special logic to, if necessary, through the policy for a specific use case, so that this policy that you define in design time knows if there's any special things that have to happen with your box. So in this case, for BBS, for the BBS use case, in the PNF registration event, they want to differentiate between a prolonged disconnection and an actual physical relocation, which they're using the additional information field that comes in the PNF registration VES event. The details of that VES event are also in this wiki page. If you just click and go to the contents and click on the VES page, and also the fields used in the ANI entry also in this wiki page. So that additional information field was new with Dublin. Well, this whole use case is new with Dublin, but that thing in particular was new, and they had to figure out how to process it and how to use it in the system, because that additional information carries important information to differentiate between the disconnection and the moving cases, and you know, how that would be modeled, or would that be a new entry? Would that be an ANI schema change, or how would that be done? Was one of the points that had to be worked out. Okay, any questions on that? Okay, all right. Thanks, David, for the presentation. So I just wanted to cover
This is Margaret. I have a question. So this is now going to be done in Dublin for PNF, or this is later?
So I think I've been talking to Damien, and I think this is going to be done for Dublin. So we can work out through some more of the details, but I've met with Damien a few times in the past week, and he's looking how to make this all happen. And he created another page also, which he was going to link off of this page. By the way, you can, you know, every one of these steps has a description of how it works and stuff, so you can read through it.
Yeah.
But there was, he created this new page for this registration criteria stuff. So he's, the intention is to make this work. So we can probably have follow-up meetings for that if you have more questions. Okay, so just in the last few minutes, I did want to cover a topic that was garnering email some email back and forth. So the 5G PNF software upgrade use case Oscar had informed us had been deferred out of Dublin. He's still on the call. Okay, great. And I think Ulash then asked, well, what's the impact and what does that mean to the NetConf use case? So if you want to have a quick update for that, or if you want to say more, Oscar.
So there's a separate use case on the 5G, which related to configuration. That is progressing. That has not changed.
So there's no, so it's, what, yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, what will be the effort, do you think, needed to just let the software upgrade? I mean, if we provide some developer support, do you think, from Huawei side, do you think we can still target the software upgrade case as well?
So one of the things that needs to be elaborated a bit more, I think, as a first step is around the technical solution within the controller, for example?
If basically the netconf support is there, the Yang and netconf artifacts, I think we can take a shortcut for Dublin, at least to show that there is this support. But then for the El Alto, basically we can work on the clean version for the controller workflow. In some sense, we can do something that we did for Casablanca, also for Netcom support. But this is just a thought, basically. I guess maybe we can discuss this Thursday in the software upgrade meeting. But if it is just a matter of basic developer support,
so basically, if you want to deliver something in R4, I think you probably need to demo something, right? You want to showcase something, and so the question is there something that you can produce in Dublin that's showcaseable? And it doesn't have to be, I know software upgrade is a huge topic, right? So it's kind of like one of those humongous solve world hunger type of problems. It has a very deep subject, and maybe we can pick something simple in R4 just to showcase. Is that possible?
This is what I am alluding to. Yes, I think that is possible in the way that we did it for Casablanca. But that requires that basically there is a netconf support with Yang artifacts in place, so that it's a matter of basically supporting a DG for that. No? But again, I am asking this question because, if it is a matter of basic absence of developer or not, if that is the case, I can internally look into from our side, from Huawei side, whether we can provide that support or not. Mm.
Okay. I know Rebecca.
This is Shaka. So I think reading through the email thread, I think the question in my mind is that it seemed to me that we had a little bit of disconnect, right, in terms of expectations. Right. So Ulash was thinking that it was still in the release, and then I think some of the email suggested that maybe it might not be. My question is, do we agree that it should be in? And if it is, if it should be, then how do we make it happen?
Exactly. Yeah, I think that was what Lush is asking.
Yeah. Right? I just want to make sure that we clear the confusion issue, or the fact that we're not aligned first, and then address how we want to get there. So if we're saying okay, let's move forward based on what Ulash is discussing, his suggestion, then the question is, do we have enough resources, or should we go off and find resources internal to Huawei?
Right. The other kind of problem is that we're past the M1 milestone, and I was working the 5G. The 5G use cases. And what I did was I was asked to basically take the 5G use cases all the 5G use cases to to put each use case on its own line, right? And I didn't put in the PNF software upgrade because I thought it got deferred. We're past the M1 deadline, so if we want this, we may need to have to go back to the TSC and just and reinstate it, or in other words, we're behind the curve. So we really need to move on this really quickly if we do think something can be done, right?
Yeah, I mean, does this need the PSC approval type of thing? I don't remember.
Well, the software it was already an approved use case to happen in R4, and the thing is, you know, in the past week or so or 2 weeks, the M1 milestone, there's been a lot of activities in the M1 milestone, right? And in that time frame recently, it was announced that we wouldn't be doing software upgrades. So if we think we can or want to do it, then we really need to hustle to update the Dublin release planning chart, right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think basically we are at the top of the hour, but we can sort this out this Thursday morning meeting.
Right. Okay.
You know, then, I mean, what Shekhar has been saying is basically is the key. No, I mean, do we want to do that? And then let's worry about the resources.
Right, right. Okay, all right. Well, I just wanted to connect. Okay,
so I think there is a you know, shortcut that can be delivered. Mm-hmm. But that basically, in my mind, requires NetConf with a Yang artifact support. I was thinking Ericsson was going to provide that. If Ericsson needs support, additional developer support for that, and if we know about that, that will help basically.
Okay. All right. Okay. So just one very last quick thought before we close. In the 5G page, I've also put some tags against each of the use case realization meetings. So you can quickly see what the main sort of the main topic of that meeting was. So for example, today we had the BBS overview. In the future, I also have talks from other use cases as well. And then finally, I've been updating the cross use case impact spreadsheet. And so I'll upload the latest spreadsheet. I was on the ANEI team today and also created a tab for ANA impacts. Okay, we've reached the end of the meeting. So thank you everybody for joining. I hope you found it productive and useful and informational to learn about the BBS use case. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ben.